Thank you. I love that song. Do you have that sense that you're here to make the difference in some way? Anyone?
Yes.
Well, that's good news, because I believe that's true. So I have a question for you this morning. What do you think of when you hear the word faith? Because that word can be a charged one. When we talk about it in the spiritual sense, it can be a loaded word, mainly because there were many of us in our younger days who may have been told to believe something simply because a spiritual authority of some kind said so. We may have been asked to check our brains at the door and have blind faith with the message that we need to believe this or else there will be dire consequences. And in that sense, faith can be used almost as a weapon. But what I'm talking about this morning is much different than that, much different definition. Rather than blind faith, we're talking about an actual power, a very visionary faith that, in the words of Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, is defined as the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. Now, I had to memorize that definition in ministerial school. And to be honest, it felt very fluffy. It felt like fluffy nothing to me, just a bunch of words, very jargony. I really didn't get how extraordinary that idea was until I did the Q process. And it brought to my attention how I was doing that very thing. I was using my faith power to create an experience I didn't want. I caught myself perceiving something that was only true in my own mind, and that was that it's too hard for me to write the book that I have begun. And I could see so clearly that that perception I had had shaped the substance of my life to be in accordance with that mistaken reality. Every time I sat down to write, nothing would come. It was difficult. No inspiration. I'd always find something else to focus on. Totally distracted. Any other writers in the room had that happen to you? Or anyone doing something creative? So my experience of life was exactly what I was believing it to be. Do you see that? But that belief was totally untrue. It was made up. It was false. It was incorrect. And yet that did not take away its power. Until I saw what I was doing. Until then, I was locked into that truth as if I was actually chained to it with what William Blake calls mind-forged manacles. I love that. And what an aha moment that it was all tied to perception, or in fact, misperception. Two people can have this exact same experience, and each of them will have a totally different perception of the whole thing. Do you know what I'm talking about here? You ever had that happen? I used to have someone I knew who was suspicious of everyone. And whenever I would be in privy to any kind of conversation he was having with someone else, we would come away with totally different perspective on what that was. He always was telling me what was really going on. And I would be shaking my head. How on earth did he get that? That's not what I saw at all. I heard about a teacher, a very wise teacher, who had a ball that she kept near her desk that was black on one side and white on the other side. And one day she found two of her students, a boy and a girl, arguing. She brought them into the classroom. She had each one stand on opposite sides of her desk and put the ball in the middle, and then she asked them both what color it was. And they started arguing. It's white? No, it's black. No, it's white? No, it's black. And each one convinced that the other was wrong. How on earth could they see that? And they discovered, of course, that neither of them was wrong. The point of view depended, the perception depended on the point of view, your viewing point colors what we see. And what we have to remember is that our whole world is colored by our perception. Our viewing point, by how we see what we do see. Because how we perceive the world has tremendous significance. It has a lot of clout. It's powerful enough to shape substance, that is, to actually create our experience of the reality we believe it to be in the physical world. So through doing worksheet after worksheet, I saw clearly my perception was creating my reality, my experience of my reality, the perceiving power of the mind linked with the ability to shape substance. So is there something in your life that you are perceiving from a certain viewing point and then having faith in that perception? As Henry Ford is quoted as saying, whether you think you can or you think you can't,
you're right.
And if I believe life is difficult, Gary alluded to this last week, then that perception will manifest as a difficult life. If I think I'm not good enough, or not talented enough, or not thin enough, or not prosperous enough, I will continue to bump up against that belief, see? And my life will mirror back to me what is in my psyche. And then I will use that reflection as evidence that it's true. We are amazing beings. This is how powerful we are. Now, here's the good news. You ready for it? Okay, lean in. We can change our perception. And we do that in part because our ability to perceive extends beyond just what we're seeing. It extends to what can be. This is the key. That our perception also extends to seeing in our minds what can be. And we can see something different than what our current experience is. And that's a wonderful tool that we have. So here's a question for you that the psychologist Maria Namath is fond of asking in her work. Would it be all right with you if your life got easier? Well, that can actually happen when, first of all, we stop making agreements with difficulty. That's important. We stop putting faith in the mirror or in the projection, and we shift it from that outer appearance to the inner truth that we know. So the question is not, do we have enough faith, like we have some sort of deficiency in it? The question is, where are we putting that faith? Do we have faith in health or in illness? In writing ability or the empty page? In the abundance of the universe or lack? In the power within us or the outer appearance? Do you see it? Because it's through that inner power of faith that we can see beyond the outer signs. And the truth is that we can't trust what the outer appearance is telling us, ever. What appears solid is really space. The quantum scientist Werner Heisenberg said, the atoms or elementary particles themselves are not real. They form a world of potentialities or possibilities. So the perceiving power of the mind is just that, a perception of possibility. I want you to really feel how that feels, a perception of possibility. So we have the choice where we put our faith, and that choice will determine our experience. But I'll tell you one thing, if we are affirming something, fervently affirming it, while at the same time believing its opposite, which one's going to win out? The belief will win hands down. Hands down. Our feeling about what's happening overrides our cognitive perspective. And we pen ourselves in by these limiting beliefs, and they're not true. So a shift in perception is necessary if we want to create something new and greater in our lives. And that means we learn to celebrate the seed. And that's my talk title. What does that even mean? It means we begin to see the potential flower in the seed before it blooms. We see the orchard in the apple pit before it becomes one. We see the oak tree in the unicorn. I'm going to leave that in for the second service.
Thank you.
The oak tree in the acorn. The perceiving power of faith allows us to celebrate the underlying potential. It's like Michelangelo saying that he saw the angel in the marble and he just cleared away what was in its way. Do you see? We have this ability. All of us has this ability. Every single one of us. Except there's this little thing that gets in the way called fear. Fear is what sees the empty page and makes it mean that it's hopeless to try and write anything. And we have been programmed to live from fear and self-doubt. We have to break through that conditioning. Recently, I read that fear is having faith in certain images created by the mind rather than having faith in the mighty creative power within. So we start by questioning what our mind is telling us. I think of Byron Katie and her questioning. Is it true? Is what I'm believing true? There's a story told in the East about an artist who painted a tiger that was so real he became afraid to enter the room it was hanging in. Now, we laugh at the silliness of the story, but guess what? In essence, that's exactly what we do when our mind conjures up a frightening image and we imbue it with reality and then we react to it. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Our minds are very creative in making up these scenarios, and they're not real. And when we do that, we choose a reality that's filled with fear, anxiety, worry, defensiveness, separation, all those things. Charles Fillmore describes fear as the great paralyzer of mental action. And he writes, "Fear throws dust in our eyes and hides the mighty spiritual forces that are always with us. It clouds our vision, clouds our thinking." So faith is the power to create our experience of reality by the perceptions we deem to be real. We realize them. So what are you realizing in your life? What are you putting your faith in? And would it be all right with you if life got easier? So we begin by questioning our established beliefs and be willing to ask the questions and get new answers. Because faith can lift us from this limited level of thinking to greater and greater heights simply by shifting to a new perspective, celebrating the seed. And that raises us to a place of spiritual strength as we come into the awareness of the truth. So we're talking about visionary faith here, because it's based on something that we can internalize, visualize internally so clearly that we attain a deep conviction that it's true. That's how powerful we are. The Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore said, "Faith is the bird that feels the light when the dawn is still dark." And that's the kind of vision we need to aspire to, seeing what can be and then feeling it arriving before it actually shows up, and then engaging in actions that demonstrate our inspired vision. There's a saying that reads, "Imagination is hearing the melody of the future. Faith is dancing to that melody." That's one of my favorites. So we listen for the melody, but it's when we start dancing to it, dancing with it, that we step onto the path that brings it into manifestation. And that takes commitment. It takes commitment. There's a story about a man who called himself the Great Zambruti. And he used to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Do you all remember who that is? And one time he walked with a wheelbarrow from one side to the other. And when he reached the other side, a young man rushed up to him and said, "You are the Great Zambruti, and you are so great that you could just get right back up there and walk right across again with that wheelbarrow. I know you could. I have faith in you." And Zambruti said, "Yes, but I'm not going to." But the man was persistent. He said, "Yes, but you are so great, and I have such faith in you. I know you could just climb right back up there and walk that whole thing again with your wheelbarrow." And again, Zambruti said, "No, I'm not going to do it again." And this time the young man was even more insistent. And he said, "I have faith in the Great Zambruti. I know that if you wanted to, you could do it just one more time." And with that, the Great Zambruti looked at him, held up the wheelbarrow, and said, "Get in." See how much faith you actually have. So how much faith do you have in what you are realizing in your life? You know, are you ready to hop in to demonstrate it? Well, when we look at the power of faith metaphysically in the scriptures, we find that the disciple Peter is held up as representing faith. And there's a story in the 14th chapter of Matthew that illustrates why this is. The disciples are sailing along on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus has gone off alone to pray. And in the darkness before the dawn, the disciples see a ghostly figure walking towards them on the water. And they all become fearful. But then Peter realizes it's Jesus, and he says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on this water." And then Peter steps out of the boat, and he starts to walk on the water toward Jesus. And here we have an actual picture of that event. But then a strong wind arises, and he shifts his focus and instead begins to pay attention to the turmoil beneath him. And he probably asked himself what he was doing out there on the water, and he began to sink. Now, there is great metaphysics in this story, great metaphysics. Have you ever found yourself stepping out in faith with your eye fixed on a positive outcome, feeling Spirit's guidance, and maybe you took those first steps in confidence? Well, if you've done that, you have been Peter getting out of the boat. And if we can stay focused on the goal, stay in the awareness of the Christ within us, the higher self, the greater mind that is leading us, that is beckoning us to become more, if we keep our eyes on the prize, we don't become distracted by life's experiences. However, if we lose that awareness, if we become focused on the turmoil around us, on the storms of life, on the outer appearance, we can drown in our own despair. Especially if we ask ourselves, what made me think I could do this? Then we can sink even deeper, which is exactly what was happening to me with my book. And we sometimes might be critical of Peter, thinking he didn't have enough faith. Well, you know what? He got out of the boat. He got into the wheelbarrow. You know, he joined the dance. But here's the thing. He had enough faith. At first, it was in Jesus, and then it shifted to faith in the unstable sea. And that is really the pivotal point of this story. He took the first step, and then he took his eyes off the goal, off the Christ who had called him. And he began to see the problems, the strength of the wind, the stormy sea, and he became frightened. And so fear is faith in a negative outcome, truly. I started out writing my book with vision and inspiration. I stepped out of that boat. Then I made an agreement with difficulty, and I took my eyes off of the vision. Instead, all I saw was the empty page, and I focused on that instead of remembering that I was feeling this calling to write. And then it became hard, difficult, nothing coming through. I would write something and end up deleting all of it. And the more discouraged I got, the worse it came. I actually gave up trying, just left it. And you know, it takes a certain amount of audacity to look at the outer appearance and yet still hold fast to your faith in the invisible, to celebrate the seed, to bless the blank page. But here's the thing, we have within us all we need to be lifted up by the power of Spirit within us and carried through any turmoil. It takes visionary focus and trust to continue confidently walking toward an outcome with faith when the evidence of it has yet to appear in the physical realm. So we need to learn to traverse that in-between time from planting to harvest. And when I had the insightful aha moment that I had been creating an experience of my life that I did not want, wow, blew my mind. But it didn't just change overnight to one I liked better. The book is not complete yet. I had to plant a new seed. I had to tend to it with daily spiritual practice of continuing to mine any limiting beliefs around my writing that came up. And then with self-compassion, shift those beliefs to kinder ones, more healing ones, more loving ones, through heart-centered integration work. It took some authentic action, doing worksheet after worksheet, dancing with this new melody that I wanted to see come forth, lowering any barricades of self-doubt that arose, and then taking embodied action that demonstrated the new belief, which was working with a coach and committing to writing days and times and following through. And suddenly, the writing is flowing like a river, like it never has before. And it all stems from a shift in perception followed by authentic action. Do you see it? This is powerful stuff. Joseph Campbell describes our true self as a whole range of possibilities you've never even thought of. And you know, the ego doesn't quite know what to do with that. But just imagine with me an energetic field of potentiality that can be activated through the combining of our power of visionary faith and compassionate, authentic action. That's how the world changes. That's how transformation happens. One of my favorite quotes says, "Only those who can see the invisible can do the impossible." And we do that as we celebrate the seed, as we believe more in our potential than in our past. This is really important. Believe more in your potential than in your past, even when the vision has yet to be demonstrated. You and I are fashioned by the power that creates and sustains all of life. The one life is living itself through and as each one of us. We are all carrier waves of the power that birthed us and breathes us. Can you feel that? You are a focal point of divine consciousness, the expression of divine presence, and that presence closer than our very breath. And we become aware of it through the stillness, through feeling that presence. One of our SEE students described it as catching a whiff of holiness. Love that. And it's important every day to enter the silence, the secret place of the Most High, to listen to the still small voice that whispers the truth that we can, rather than the critical yapping that tells us that we can't, along with all the possible reasons why. So what do you desire in your life? A healthy body, loving, harmonious relationships, a successful, fulfilling career, prosperity, a kinder, more compassionate world? In order to bring potential into manifestation, we have to become, in the words of Norman Vincent Peale, practicing possibilitarians. Having faith in the power within us to overcome any outer condition. And that means that we start to not only dance with the melody of the future, we begin to live the dance. We get out of the boat. So are you ready to become a possibilitarian? Well, if you find the reality you're living in is not one to your liking, this is a good time to first stop and see where you may have been making an agreement with difficulty. Ask yourself, would it be all right if my life got easier? And if the answer is yes, begin by questioning your limiting beliefs. What is it you're perceiving that's not true? And then using the mirror as evidence that it is. And the cue process is very helpful in uncovering these beliefs. And then with self-compassion, work with those beliefs that you uncover to help them release and morph into more life-affirming true beliefs. Again, the cue process can help. Start listening for the melody of the future, for where you're being called to step out in faith. Listen as you spend time in the silence, letting your heart bring forth a vision of something greater. And plant the seed of whatever it is you want to have happen through intention. And then begin to dance to the melody. Become a possibilitarian. Feel the way you're going to feel when it comes to pass. Now that takes practice. And then take authentic action that nurtures the seed's growth and ask your heart for guidance on what that action should be. It's time for us. It's time for us to stop doubting our divine, eternal nature, to get out of our own way and to use our faculty and power of faith to celebrate the seed as we actualize our potential rather than being stuck in recreating our past. So are you ready to get out of the boat?
Yes.
Let's do it. So it is.